Good morning, everyone, and you're all very welcome here again this morning. Great to see you out. And it was supposed to be Hugh Martin who was going to speak here, but his mum passed away there lately, Hugh Martin of Beach Mission, so at short notice I've stepped in to speak, and we're going to consider this morning the compassion of Jesus. A hymn that we often sing, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, has a line in it that says, Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. And this is the Jesus we're considering this morning, this Jesus who is full of compassion. And we're going to read our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 through to 10 verse 15. So Matthew chapter 9, in God's word that Esther's been telling us about. And we'll run through it. And we'll see what the setting is like. Oh, we're using those words again, run and set. Very good. So let's start at Matthew 9 and verse 35 in God's word that God spoke to Matthew to write down. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 disciples Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, or a staff for the worker. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave their home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. So our text this morning in Matthew 9:36 says, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to help us as we consider his word. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, Lord. Words you spoke to people to write down. It's the living and active word. And Lord, help us this morning as we listen to your word that it will speak to our hearts. And pray that your Holy Spirit will just make it fresh to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the subject I'd like to consider this morning is the compassion of the Lord Jesus and what it says to us as believers. Compassion. Well, Esther was telling us about different words in the, if we had the Oxford Dictionary, we could look up what the word compassion means. Well, to be compassionate, to show compassion, what does this word mean? The word compassion comes from two Latin words. I'm not pretending I know Latin. I looked it up. Which means suffer and with. To show compassion means to suffer with someone, to enter into a person's situation and become involved in that person's suffering. True compassion is an action word, as it involves doing as well as thinking or saying. Compassion is an emotion that causes us to be deeply stirred, to be moved in our inner parts, as it were. Someone has defined compassion as sympathy, coupled with a desire to help. Sympathy means the capacity to share feelings, to enter into the same feelings, to feel the same thing. So compassion is sharing the feelings of others and possessing a desire to help them in their time of trouble. Jesus has great compassion for mankind. We see from our text today that our Savior was moved deeply in his inner being by the needs of those around him. He had compassion. Those who were being harassed and were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The compassion of Christ. This morning we will look at what motivated Jesus to be compassionate and how we can become more compassionate ourselves. I don't know about you, but for me, in the area of compassion, do you know what? There's plenty of room for improvement. And I'm sure each of you could say that for yourselves. Much too often I am selfish and self-centered, but I need to be more like the Lord. Let's look at the compassion of Christ and learn from him. So let's look first at the origins of his compassion. And firstly, that originated in his essence. How could Jesus reach out to all these people? Why was he so compassionate? How was he able to deal with so many different people with so many different problems? What motivated him? Well, let's think for a moment who Jesus is. He is divine. He is God. He is not selfish. He is not self-centered. He is meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. Jesus reveals to us the exact nature of God. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made him known." That's the Lord Jesus. And John 14, verse 9, Jesus answered, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is God. He is the God of infinite love, grace, mercy, and compassion. King David writes about God in Psalm 86:15. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." This is our God. Jesus' compassion comes from his very nature because he is divine. Jesus' compassion originates in his essence, for he is God. Think of this situation. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get out. Picture that. A number of people passed by and had different views on the man in the pit. One said, "You only think you're in a pit." A second person said, "Only bad people fall into a pit." A third person looked and said, "You deserve to be in the pit." Another well-meaning person said, "Well, we'll get you some food and clothing for while you're in the pit." Yet another said, "This was no accident, you know." Another said, "Things could be worse." That's the optimist. And yet another said, "Things will get worse." That's the pessimist. But you know, none of these people got the man out of his predicament. He was still in the pit. The compassionate thing to do was to get the man out of the pit. That is the essence of Christ and his compassion. He doesn't just give advice. He takes action. As well as originating in his essence, the fact that he is God, Jesus' compassion also originated in his experience. Not just that he is God, but one reason Jesus was able to express such sympathy for others was his own experiences when he lived his life here on earth. Jesus didn't come into the world to live a life free from trouble or difficulty. He lived in poverty. Matthew 8:20 says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." John 1:11 says he was despised, hated, and rejected. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He even endured a severe time of temptation. Matthew 4, verse 1, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Jesus knew the feeling of pain, and he can feel our pain. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Jesus felt sorrow, Matthew tells us. He felt hunger, Luke 4:2. He was tired and needed sleep, Luke 8:23. He experienced poverty, Luke 9:58. Weariness, John 4, verse 6. Emotions, John 11:35, and much more. His compassion for others originated through his own experiences as he took on flesh and lived among us. So Jesus' compassion originated in his essence as he is God, he is divine, and displayed for us in the character of God and in his experiences here on earth. He was fully man and lived amongst us. So from the origins of his compassion, then we look secondly at the objects of his compassion. You know, Jesus' compassion knew no boundaries. Jesus felt the needs of all classes and all kinds of people. The following are a few instances of people whom Jesus showed his great compassion to. There was the scattered ones. Matthew 9:36, we just read there. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The scattered ones. Jesus was touched by the crowds and by their needs. He saw them as leaderless, harassed, bullied, bruised, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were exploited and adrift, following the crowd but not knowing why or where. The leaders were in the same place as the led. In other words, the spiritual leaders of that day were not real leaders themselves. They were too busy being full of their own self-importance, their own self-righteousness, and were actually contributing to a harassment of the people rather than leading them in God's way. They were leading the crowds away from God rather than leading them to God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He has come to lead, to feed and protect God's people. Matthew quotes from Micah 5 verse 2 and in Matthew 2 verse 6 where he writes, speaking of Bethlehem, the place where the Messiah will be born, for out of you will come a ruler that will be the shepherd of my people Israel. In our scripture reading this morning, Matthew 10 verse 6, we read about Jesus sending the disciples to the lost sheep of Israel. The scattered ones, the crowds. Jesus had compassion on the lost sheep. For God so loved the world, and his desire was that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16 tells us. God is compassionate about the world and about the crowds. Jesus went about teaching, preaching and healing. We read in Matthew 9:35, that first verse we read in our passage today. He reached out in compassion to the people around him, the scattered ones. Another group of people that Jesus reached out to were the sick ones. Matthew 14 and verse 14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. On this occasion, Jesus had compassion on many sick people and healed them. On other occasions, he had compassion on individuals like the leper and the blind man. Jesus saw sickness as something to be healed. No sickness was too difficult for Jesus, and every kind of sickness and disease were healed. Our passage this morning opened with the words, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Verse 35 of Matthew 9. When we think of Jesus and the people he healed, we think of individuals, but the Gospels also record for us many of the different accounts where Jesus healed many, like the one we've just read. So many people were touched by Jesus' healing throughout the New Testament and his life here on earth. Another of note is Matthew 4, 23 to 25, where we read that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching and healing every disease and sickness among the people. All who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, Jesus healed them. Nothing was too difficult for him. Jesus' sense of compassion is remarkable. He could see, he could feel, he could identify with the desperation of people in need, and he acted with compassion in a way that personally involved himself. He touched the blind man's eyes. He touched the leper. With Jesus, there was no selfishness. He looked out for the needs of others. Virtually all of Jesus' healings were motivated by his compassion for the person who was sick or diseased. The scattered ones, the sick ones, and now another group, the sinning ones. Jesus said in Matthew 9:13, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus' compassion was not confined to cases of physical need of suffering. He earned the nickname, Friend of Sinners, because of his tenderness, his compassion towards those whom society of his day ostracized from respectable society as outcasts, as moral failures. Matthew himself was a despised tax collector working for the Roman tax office. Jesus was criticized by the religious leaders of his day for keeping bad company. Once the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman caught in adultery, challenging Jesus to uphold the law of Moses, which called for the stoning to death for this offense. Jesus' reply was, "Let anyone among you who is without sin cast the first stone." They all left one by one, leaving just Jesus and the woman. And Jesus says to her, "He does not condemn her, and for her to go and sin no more." Here we see the compassion is not weakness, but it's associated with courage and authority. Jesus stood up against the religious leaders and stood up for the sinner. As well as the scattered ones, the sick ones, the sinners, we also have compassion, Jesus' compassion on the suffering ones. Luke 7, 11 to 15, where Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from that town went with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Someone commenting on this passage said, "Here we have life, that is Jesus, entering into the town of Nain, just at the same time as we have death, the widow's son, leaving the town. Life coming in, death going out." We are told here that the Lord saw this grieving mother and his heart went out to her and he took action. He got involved. And Luke's account suggests that his help was neither asked for or expected. Yet in love and compassion, Jesus took the initiative. His action of touching the coffin spoke authority. As the men who were carrying the coffin stood still, it's like they froze. And his words spoke authority as he raised that dead young man back to life. Jesus' heart went out to this woman, left all alone. Not only had she lost her only son, but she also was a widow, and she was in dire circumstances. She was left alone in a society that did not have any resources to care for widows. What would happen to her? Who would take care of her? Jesus' heart was full of compassion. He could say what no one else could say, "Don't cry." We can only cry and grieve with those who have lost loved ones, but Jesus in his compassion put a smile back on that mum's face when he uttered those words, "Get up," and the man was raised to life again. You know, here we have the meeting of two sons, Jesus, the Son of God, and the widow's son. One was alive, but destined to die. The other was dead, but made alive. The relation between mother and son, broken by death, is restored by the compassion of the Lord Jesus. There are suffering people today that need the compassion of Jesus. People need the Lord. People you and I rub shoulders with day by day. People here in our church family. People in our community. People further afield who need Christian compassion. People need Christ's compassion. And Jesus has sent us into the world as his ambassadors of that love and compassion. Jesus sent out the 12 in Matthew 10. And he sends us out too. So Jesus had compassion on the scattered ones, the sick ones, the sinner, the suffering, and he also has compassion on the seeking ones, Mark 10, 17 and onwards. This is the account of the rich young ruler, the rich young man who came to Jesus, who went away sad because his first love was his wealth. The love of money got in the way of giving his life to God. In essence, he broke the first and second of the Ten Commandments. He exchanged the trinkets here on earth for the treasures of heaven. By his decision, he would forfeit so much to gain so little. Yet Jesus knew this man's heart, and he had compassion on him. Lost people matter to the Lord, and he wants them to be found. Jesus has a heart for the lost that flows out of a heart of love and compassion. It says in Mark 10, 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He showed genuine love for this man. Love is being able to give tough advice. And Jesus in his compassion didn't hedge around the truth. He didn't say, that'll all be fine. No, he went straight to the problem. He went to the heart of the matter, which is the matter of the heart. He told this man basically, your problem is your love of your wealth and that is what you are trusting in and depending on. And you need to give that up so that you can be my follower. We need the compassion of Jesus to encourage us to reach out to the seeking ones around us today and tomorrow and into next week. Jesus says in our passage of scripture this morning in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling us today, that there is many seeking ones waiting to hear the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel, the good news, is that each of us personally needs to admit that we are sinners and that we need to repent of our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus as our one and only Savior. Verse 38 encourages that the first thing we need to do is pray. It says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest field." In this context of workers, our job is to pray. It is the Lord's work to send, and it is his work to save. That doesn't mean it isn't our work. It isn't our task to tell others. It is the task of all believers to be his witnesses. So here we have Jesus showing his compassion to the scattered ones, the sick ones, the sinning ones, the suffering ones, and to the seeking ones. And we as believers should follow the example of our Lord. May his compassion shine through us to others. So we've looked at the origins of Jesus' compassion, his divinity and his manhood, the objects of Jesus' compassion. And now finally this morning, let's look at the objectives of Jesus' compassion. And two objectives. The objective of instruction. And looking through the gospel often shows us that the disciples knew little of the compassion that Jesus displayed. James and John, remember, wanted to call down fire from heaven to punish a Samaritan village, which refused to receive Jesus in Luke 9:54. Another time, the disciples wanted to send the hungry crowd away with nothing to eat, Mark 6:34. And another time, again, the disciples rebuked those who brought their children to Jesus in Matthew 19:13. The disciples, like each of us, were a bit short in the area of compassion. They did not really see the people or their needs. They were too caught up in their own lives. They didn't have a concern for the people, and they had no thoughts of reaching outside their own circle, helping people around them. And it is true to say that it's also easy to see ourselves and these men, Jesus' disciples. Aren't we so often self-centered and selfish? It doesn't touch our lives or those of our family or our friends, then it's of no interest to us. Why did Jesus have to teach his disciples about compassion? And why do we still need to learn those same lessons today? It may be against our human nature to be compassionate, but it's not against our new nature. As the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." When we come to Christ, we are given all the resources we need to feel the needs and burdens of others. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." When we love others as we should, with the love Jesus gives us, we will not wait to be asked. We will be moved with compassion, and we will get busy helping them for the glory of God. The objective of instruction: called by Jesus to be compassionate. And first we must learn, then we must do. Not to be hearers only, as the Apostle James writes in James 1:22. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Listening and doing." So this leads us to our second objective, the objective of involvement. Instruction first, then involvement. Not only did Jesus want to teach his disciples about compassion, he wanted them to become involved in the ministry of showing compassion to others. He wanted them to start seeing people as he saw them. He wanted them to be moved by the needs of others, so moved that they would become compelled to do something about those needs. He wanted them to be involved. He sent them out to the lost sheep of Israel, to their own people, to the very surrounding towns and villages. And Jesus gave them the authority to heal every disease and sickness. And off they went, preaching, healing, raising the dead, and driving out demons, just as they'd seen their master do. Jesus had given them the authority to do this. The disciples were to go and show the Lord's compassion to those living around them. And we also are Christ's ambassadors, and we are to share Christ's compassion with those we touch day by day. It's a little story. A man was taking a walk along a beach after a stormy night, and as he strolled along, he saw that the beach was covered with starfish that had been thrown ashore and were helplessly stranded by the waves during the storm. Hundreds of starfish. And once the noonday heat came, these starfish would dry out and die. Suddenly the man came upon an interesting sight. A young boy, who had also noticed the plight of the starfish, was picking them up one at a time and throwing them back into the sea. "Why are you doing that?" the man asked the lad as soon as he got within earshot. "Can't you see that one person will never make a difference? He'll never be able to get all those starfish back in the water. They are just a way too many." "Yes, that's true," the boy sighed as he bent down and picked up another and tossed it back in the water. And then as they watched it sink, he looked at the man and smiled and said, "But it's really made a difference to that one." Often there is so much to do that it makes things look so overwhelmingly impossible. But any difference made in the life of another through the ministry of compassion will bear fruit to the glory of God. Another illustration to finish with. While walking home from school, a boy named Mark noticed a boy ahead of him had stumbled to the ground and had dropped everything he was carrying. There were some folders, some PE gear, and an armful of books. Mark helped him gather them up and carried some of the load home with him. His new friend Bill was most appreciative of his compassion, and during the walk home, Mark discovered Bill was struggling at school and that his parents had just separated. And when they arrived at Bill's home, he invited Mark in for a snack, and they spent the rest of that afternoon talking, laughing, and watching TV. Although the two boys never became real close friends, they kept in touch with each other throughout secondary school. And a few days before the Leaving Cert exams, Bill talked with Mark and asked him if he remembered that day when they first met and that Mark had helped him with all his stuff. Mark nodded as he remembered. Bill then asked, "Did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things that day?" Without waiting for an answer, Bill explained that he had cleared out his locker and was going home to take his life. He was heading home to end it all. When Mark came along to help him out, Bill told Mark how that simple act of compassion inspired him to go on living. He said, "Mark, when you helped me pick up my books that day, you saved my life." Imagine how many times our small, seemingly insignificant gestures of concern and compassion may reignite the flame of life and inspire someone to continue on. You'll never know what a little compassion will accomplish. We all need the Lord's help in the area of compassion. Compassion is more than feeling. It is more than pity. Compassion is a desire to reach out and make a difference in the life of someone else. Compassion is a desire to be Christ to someone else. We all need the compassion of Christ in our lives to let it flow out of us to others. Finishing up just with this verse, Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." May the Lord help us, help me, to show compassion. The Lord's compassion, the compassion that he can give each one of us for one another and for those we rub shoulders with day by day. Jesus, thou art all compassion. We look to the Master, the Lord Jesus, for his compassion, that we might mirror in some poor way the reflection of his compassion in our lives as we live for him day by day. Lord, just help us, Lord, to show compassion to one another and to those around us. Help us, Lord, it's not just feeling sorry for someone or thinking something, but it's doing. Lord, help us to get involved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1168, we'll stand and sing. It says, "Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall."